Hello, I'm Daniel Weiss, your host, and you are listening to my podcast. If you are new to this podcast, my aim is to give you the insights so you learn how to master your mind and optimize your health for the peak performance that is sustainable.
Okay. So for everybody that is listening, welcome, welcome. And today's guest is Charlie. And how do you pronounce actually your surname?
It's a good question, right? It's Rufieux.
Okay. And, yes, you are a young YouTuber. Your passion is actually fitness and longevity. Yeah, so can you introduce yourself to the people who don't know you?
Yeah, so basically my biggest passion, so it's almost an obsession. It's like it's on the edge of being an obsession. It's like nutrition, exercise and health, because when I was 16, I was a pretty like skinny dude. Then I started to work out. I weighed around 100 pounds. And then I always wanted to gain some muscle mass. I wanted to look good. And then I informed myself about like working out, you know, like protein. And as a 16-year-old dude, like I was just like reading about bodybuilding and I was eating like this meat-based diet, you know, like even I ate around 200. At some point, I ate around over 200 grams of protein at like 100 pounds, you know. Crazy stuff. And then I read a pretty cool book called The Ultramind Solution by Dr. Mark Hyman. And he talks about nutrition from the paradigm of like being healthy, like optimizing your diet to become even healthier. And, I mean, I was 19 back then, or even 20. And, you know, as a 20-year-old, you are always like feeling kind of good. You have so much energy. But then for the first time, I realized, hey, man, I could eat a little bit healthier and improve even my diet even more. To optimize it for health. And then I started to do that, like besides also working out. And then last year I turned 24. Even before when I turned 23, I realized, okay, I'm not getting younger, and people were always making like fun of me because I looked so young and I still look young. And then I thought, what if I could still look young when I'm like 40? And if the first was just a joke, but then I was like, okay, man, let's like research it. I started to research it. I started to read about it. And now I'm here on YouTube talking about also longevity and health, because it's a big topic and most people are really not informed. Most people have still these myths about like nutrition, you know, like don't eat carbs after 6 p.m., which has some benefits here and there if you look at the research, but it's not so like big that it will like do you harm and stuff like that. And then he said, okay, I wanna, you know, because I already read a lot about nutrition on a daily basis, so I have a lot of knowledge, and not to share that knowledge for me would be like lost potential. So I kind of want to show, to share that stuff and combine it with like editing videos and make it a little bit artistic and also like entertain people and educate people.
Yeah, that's very important, and thank you for the introduction. And intermittent fasting is one of the topics that I would like to discuss with you today. Something that is partly involved in longevity studies, right? And it's partly also, I think you follow the IF, or you have been following it for some time. Yeah, do you still follow it, or do you just use it like from time to time?
That's a really good question, because I was already talking about that stuff to yesterday with another YouTuber. Because an interesting thing is, in the beginning, people thought, yeah, like fasting is not really healthy. You need to eat like 6-7 meals a day, you know, or you need to eat breakfast. And then the intermittent fasting people came out, and then the paradigm got like so far that people said, yeah, like 20 hours of fasting is good, but fasting more is good. Fasting more is good. Yeah. Don't eat at all for 24 hours, which is also cool. It has its time and its place. And now the paradigm is kind of shifting more into the other direction again, and it's getting like balanced. Because if you follow Walter Longo, the author of the longevity diet, he talks about how to optimize your diet for longevity. And he actually says fasting is very good because of like autophagy that gets activated when you fast. Your body is like getting rid of the toxins and like rebuilding itself in a proper way. But if you fast too much, like what he says, is you increase your risk of getting heart disease or also gallstones. And he's the first guy that talks about it. And he says like 12 to 13 hours is really optimal, but then more is not always good and has his downsides. So he hasn't really shown research so far, if I'm not wrong. I need to look into that. But it's just a little disclaimer for people listening. So intermittent fasting is good, but it's not the holy grail. And I guess the truth is somewhere in between. So yeah, I'm still following intermittent fasting. But the thing is, you know, back in the days, I was always really like rule-based. I was like, okay, I need to fast at least 16 hours. Otherwise, I was feeling bad, you know, like it was some weird stuff. Yeah. And then when I just fasted for 12 hours, I was feeling bad because I was like, no, it's not intermittent fasting. But now I've basically read every position. I've read like from Brad Pillen. He talks about like alternate day fasting, like eat, stop, eat, not to eat for one day and then eat the next day. I've also read Walter Longo, who says fast for 12 hours. So I've basically read everything. And now I just eat by my own feelings, like what my body is telling me after like 8 years of researching that stuff. And what my body tells me most of the time is fasting till like 13 to 15 hours for me works the best of like health and well-being. Of course, sometimes I fast for 18 hours on some days and I go out and then I wake up late and then I just want to eat one big meal. I mean, it's fun to do that. Sometimes I also do that. But now I have like some more balanced way to look at that.
Yeah, that's very important what you said, like how it shifted like from eating like 6, 7, 8 meals to boost your metabolism, maybe even, you know, and now people are like, I still see it. Maybe it's balancing, but some people are still in this dogma that, you know, the longer I fast, the better, and they fast like 3 out of 4 days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they just overdo it, and I understand it because some people, when you don't have this information, like you have, for example, then you just follow something. And yes, that's because you miss the understanding of it. And that's why I want to also spread this message to make it like clear with people or to show them maybe a better path. That it's not like this extreme or this extreme, but to explain it in some way, the whole nutrition. Because I also had this, I started with fasting. That's how I got into nutrition. And it was with Brett Pylon's book, this, well, what was it? Eat, Stop, Eat, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. The old version. So, yeah, and I had it like a dogma, like 16-8, and I couldn't break it, you know. And now I'm just recently, I found all these also like negative aspects of it, or potentially negative aspects, like some hormonal issues, and especially when it comes to balancing the diet and like we mentioned, cortisol spikes associated with this. So for some person it might be okay, for me, for myself, no. So it all depends, right? And my goal or my holy grail, so to speak, is to find the kind of eating that for myself would be intuitive, like you said. I don't feel like eating, I don't. I feel like eating, that in that case, let's eat.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting topic because, I mean, if you tell people just eat like by intuition, like for 99% of people or for a lot of people, like they would just like, I mean, if you would tell me that, like have told me that like some years before, I would either be super skinny or would have like way more body fat, because most people live in that kind of environment where they can eat like high calorie foods like really quickly. I mean, now, like think about like 10,000 years ago, to eat 300 calories from nuts, you would have needed to perhaps walk 10 miles or something, you know. And now you can just go to the store and you can eat a chocolate bar that has like carbs, fats and salt, everything. And then your brain is getting addicted to that food and you just need to go to the fridge and eat that. And you can easily eat about like 1,000 calories in like 20 minutes without even like leaving your chair, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, exactly.
Also a good book is it's called The Hungry Brain by Stefan Gune. Also for people listening, they can also check that book out. It just talks about that basically.
Yeah, and definitely like based on what I found out so far is like there are too many variables that can affect this. So I, from my current understanding, you cannot really eat intuitively like 100%. So it's like you need to also track or understand how much you eat and so on. But yeah, pretty much for a normal person, they can stay, I would say, lean and considerably fit and everything, and eating intuitively like 95% of the time. I'm just throwing it out there, but
yeah. I mean, sometimes, to be honest, man, sometimes it's just fun to do like these huge cheat days. Like, basically, right now, for example, I have 995 YouTube subscribers. And 2 years ago when I started, I always wanted to have a community of at least 1,000 people. So as soon as I reach that, I will just do like a huge cheat day just for fun, you know, and eat like over my calories and like the calorie dense foods. Like, not like bad food, but, you know, I will eat more like dark chocolate that I would normally eat. I would eat more nut butters and just like indulge a little bit in food, because I mean, especially if you're an athlete, times like that, they will even like do you good instead of harm you. So sometimes it's also fun to do that. So yeah, you don't need to eat like intuitively like all the time, you know. It's pretty difficult, actually.
When I heard longevity first time, the term longevity, what I imagined was only the lifespan, so how long I live, right? Mm-hmm. But then, as after our first conversation, I started delving or getting more in touch with this, and I also found out that longevity is not only about like the lifespan or living longer, but also living healthier, let's say. So yes, it's more about, I would say, about vitality, mm-hmm. and being able to do things and live healthily even when you are like 70, 80 years old. And actually, I was listening to this book, The Blue Zones, by Dan Bauer, just recently, and he was also, are you familiar with this book?
Mm-hmm, yeah, I've heard about it, yeah.
I definitely listened to it, because I think in one of your videos you also mentioned Okinawan diet, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe we can also speak more about that. Which is one of the blue zones. And the point is that many people who they study, who are this living about 100 years or live up to 110 years and so on, they seemed to be actually very vital, and they looked like they were 60 years old. Mm-hmm. They couldn't believe that they are like 90 years old and such. So yeah, can you speak or introduce this term, mm-hmm. longevity, what mm-hmm. it really means?
Like, to be honest, I never really researched the like actual definition, but for me the definition is the same. For me, it's not about like getting to 120. I mean, would be cool. But what I want to have is, I want to add some extra years to my lifespan and also add like quality years, as you said, you know, like having a vital life, being able to exercise for a longer time. Because if you have read the longevity diet by Walter Longo, he talks about the study where they compared, I guess they were like 38-year-old people, and they realized that some of the 38, they were biologically like 25-year-olds, and others were already like health-wise like 60-year-olds, and they were all like 38, like, but the biological year were like 38 years. So you can see like your biological year has really nothing to say about your actual age. And this is a super amazing thing to think about. So you can actually, I mean, you can say something is with the genes, but also you can also change your lifestyle, so you can be one of the people that has like is younger biologically than his like number that he has, you know, in the years. So this was a pretty interesting thing to think about. So you can do that by changing your lifestyle. I mean, there are things you can already do right now, you know, like stand more instead of sitting in front of your computer, walk more, do more exercise. This is one thing. But one specific thing is also optimize your macronutrients and your quality of the food you are eating. This is a big thing also Walter Longo talks about. And the interesting thing is, a healthy diet, of course, is a nutrient-dense diet. I guess your listeners already know that. I'm also a big fan of the Nutrarian diet by Joel Fuhrman. He talks about like the more nutrient-dense your diet is, the better. So, I mean, fruits and vegetables have the highest density of nutrients, especially cruciferous vegetables. And this is super cool thing to think about. I mean, just eat more vegetables and fruits. I mean, already our grandparents were talking about that. That's nothing new. But what is new is actually the research about protein, because the more protein people were eating, the less long they lived, actually. I mean, it's a correlation studies, and the correlation studies are not really valid. But also other types of studies, they did like something like clinical trials also, where they like measured oxidative stress in terms of like protein, stuff like that. But what Walter Longo realized is, if you eat a lot of protein, you will also get more of the amino acids leucine. And by getting more leucine, you will activate growth pathways such as mTOR and IGF-1.
Right.
And mTOR and IGF-1 is a good thing for muscle building, of course, but it's not the best thing for longevity, because if you experience a lot of mTOR and IGF-1, your cells are proliferating at a faster pace, and it's all about balance. So if you experience too much of it, the DNA damage that you experience can also like proliferate in your cells, and then bad cells and bad things can grow in your body that you don't want to have. So people that eat more protein, as we have seen in the China study, also experience more cancer, unfortunately. And it's just like not the best way of eating if you over consume protein. There's a cool YouTuber called Ivan Blasquez. He also talks about the Nutrarian diet. He's the only Nutrarian bodybuilder that I've seen so far on YouTube. And he talks about the higher protein diet is still bearable for your body, but your body adapts with higher biomarkers such as creatinine from like your bladders, I guess. No, bladders. What is it called? The organ in English. The organ that is detoxifying your body. It's not the liver. It's the other two ones. Sorry for the vocabulary. And then it's an adaptation for your body, from your body, but it's not a favorable adaptation if you eat more protein. So this is just a thing I got from about long ago. It also changed my paradigm of a healthy diet. So instead of just eating a plant-based diet, I also try to eat the least amount of protein possible to get the best results in the gym.
So basically it's not about the protein, but it's more about the leucine itself, right?
Yeah, more or less. So if you have like 100 grams for like 100 grams of protein from plants, you're still better off than 100 grams of protein that you'd like from a whey protein or something.
Yeah, and from plant protein, I think the soy has a lot of leucine content, right?
Yeah.
Because it's pretty much the complete protein.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? The completer protein is, the more it will spike IGF-1 and mTOR. So it's a two-sided sword, you know? If you say, yeah, I just want to maximize my gains and my muscle mass, then go for a soy protein, go for whey, go for like 200 grams of protein a day. But if you want to also optimize your longevity, probably less will be better, and also like less complete protein. I mean, you know, if you combine proteins here and there, you will get a complete protein anyway. And the advantage of a vegan diet, if you combine specific protein sources such as lentils and quinoa, or lentils and rice, for example, you will also get micronutrients with it. And you will not get a lot of micronutrients from like a steak or like from cheap chicken breast, you know?
Yeah, right, definitely. And there are other things that you are also getting from the complete meal, complete food, right?
Yes, yes.
I mean, like iron, fiber and such. And
yeah, antioxidants.
From that perspective, it's always better, or seems to be always better, yes. Nutrition per calorie from the plant sources.
Yes, yes. That's also a big thing I would think about, or nutrition per calorie. So if you eat like cruciferous vegetables such as broccoli, Brussels sprouts, or like cauliflower, if you base your
kale
with that, kale, yeah, sorry for like for forgetting kale, like the master of the cruciferous vegetables, at least like in the US. Here it's not that common a lot, like right now. But
really?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see it that often here. Like when I was eating at Whole Foods, I always did the same. I took a big plate, and then I was the bottom of the plate was just like raw kale, always. Raw kale was the bottom. And then I was like putting in some beans, some quinoa, some other vegetables, a little bit of healthy sauce. And then the top was always raw broccoli. I was making sure to get the raw nutrients like in the bottom of my plate and at the top.
Uh-huh.
It's just a funny way to like design your plate. was more of a bag than a plate. Well, that's good.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So yeah, that's basically the what I would say about longevity. It's eat less protein, and if you work out, for example, because I know one of your friends, right, was asking about leucine. If you also want
yes,
to,
exactly.
Because you know, at the end of the day, man, I had this time in my life where after reading that research, I was like, oh no, I need to eat low protein. Then I had the time when I was eating just like 60 to 70 grams of protein every day. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to work out too much. Like having too much muscle mass is not healthy. But then I was getting unhappier, man, because like working out and gaining muscle mass for me is so much fun. And I was like, come on, man, I optimize my life less around longevity, but I still want to have gains. I still want to have a photo shoot in a couple of years or some photo shoots. I still want to look amazing. So I was like, come on, man, I amp up my protein a little bit for peace of mind. Still like keep it low. So back in the day when I was 150 pounds, I ate around 150 grams of protein. And right now I'm 140 pounds and I eat around 100 grams to 110 grams.
Because I didn't hear the part that when you were 150 pounds, you ate how much?
150 grams of protein approximately.
Yeah, so basically like 1 gram per pound.
Yeah, and now I eat like
so
around
that is 100. About like 1 ounce per kilo.
Yeah. And right now I eat 100 grams of protein and I still have the benefits. I mean, when I will cut down again, perhaps I amp it up a little bit, but still I eat less protein because I've read this longevity research and it's really a big part of my life right now.
But this is like a longevity from the, let's say, perspective of nutrition itself. And we could also speak maybe about antioxidants and other parts that... make the complete picture, but also I think what you mentioned several times was like you ate, for example, more protein because you wanted to build muscle and for the peace of your mind. And I understand, for example, longevity, I want to look at it as at anything from different aspects. And when we speak about longevity specifically, it's like, you know, one part is nutrition, one part is the lifestyle, like movement that you mentioned, going for a walk, staying active. Another part is like social situations, being social, you know, like serotonin induced by, you know, speaking with friends. And, you know, also things like emotional stuff, like feeling that you are needed and, you know, all the other parts that affect your mind, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To be honest, I haven't really researched like all the parts because I'm a nutrition nerd, but I totally agree with your point. I mean, what's the point in like having the best longevity diet, quote unquote, if you don't go out anymore and eat with your friends? Because I guess also like Walter Longo actually says that the longevity of your longevity diet is also important. I mean, the diet I have right now, it's a diet I can keep for the rest of my life, I mostly guess. And this is a good thing for me. But if I would optimize my diet even more, eat less protein and worry too much about other stuff, then this would not have a lot of like longevity, you know. So everybody, I mean, my opinion is everybody should read the research or should at least subscribe to people on YouTube that talk about that. But and then listen to the research or listen to podcasts like here. They should know about it. But then how they implement it should be everyone's decision. But like really get it, you know, read it and listen to it. But then how you do it, it's like it's your thing, you know. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I love that because it needs to be personalized. And this I would get back to the amount of stress that we experience, right?
Oh, we don't hear you anymore. No, that's good. Okay.
Okay, so I think that it needs to be personalized and that it also affects, you know, like how much stress do you experience throughout the day, throughout your life. This, I think, is the biggest factor that contributes to, let's say, to longevity as a whole picture.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Totally.
And when you mentioned that these people, like, listen to podcasts, listen to people, who are into the longevity and so people can actually understand it better and personalize it for themselves, like could you give us some tips or for the people listening that like who are your favorite or what are your favorite sources
Oh, what do you mean, like books and stuff? Oh, that's a good question, man. I love it. So, I mean, if it comes to books, I've really enjoyed the. So far, I've read a lot of books, you know, about nutrition. I've read How Not to Die by Dr. Michael Greger. I've read The Ultramind Solution by Dr. Mark Hyman. I've read even about paleo. I like to read about the paleo diet because I want to listen to where these people come from, and I don't want to fall into the trap of my confirmation bias. So I read a lot, but so far the guy that really like I like the most, or the guys, are like Valter Longo, The Longevity Diet, a really, really cool book. And also Joel Fuhrman. He wrote the book Eat to Live, and also Super Immunity, because these two authors are not just like people that are following a specific diet. Like, for example, they're not like the paleo doctors, or they don't even vegan doctors, even though I like the vegan community, and I'm also like part of it because I'm on a vegan diet right now, I mean, most of the time. But I really enjoy these two the most because they're not falling into a specific dogma. They talk a lot about like research, and they talk about the same stuff, basically, like 90 to 95 or even 100% of your calories coming from plants, and then the rest of like animal-based products. And the only reason why both talk about animal-based products is because they're like fish from the perspective of getting your omega-3 fatty acids, because most people don't want to supplement with omega-3 fatty acids, like health nuts like us. They just want to eat food and like don't think about it. So then they should also eat some fish because of the omega-3 fatty acids, but also realize, okay, the higher the fish was in the food chain, the more mercury it contains. So I would not eat too much like tuna, for example, like big fishes. So I'd eat like smaller fishes, like fish like sardel, stuff like that. Also right now, I don't have my algae omega-3 supplement anymore. Like I don't have it. So my store also doesn't have it. So I had to buy like krill oil, for example. So I'm basically not vegan anymore right now. But I decided to buy krill oil because it's not as high in the food chain and it contains less mercury, you know. So I love these two authors, like Joel Fuhrman, Valter Longo. Also authors I enjoy, like Dr. Michael Greger, even though sometimes he is perhaps not the most scientific, you know, sometimes. I also started to following Dr. Mercola, how it's called. He's like also interesting guy. I haven't really followed a lot, but I also liked him. Mark Hyman also, the guy I've mentioned in the beginning, has written a cool book like The Ultramind Solution. I don't like the stuff he is doing right now like that much because he talks a lot about high fat and low carb diets, and then most people will think like, yeah, like all carbs are bad, but no, it's not like that. I mean, fruits and vegetables and legumes are still like good carbs, but you need to like, you know, like nutrition is really nuanced, right? I would say, long story short, like Joel Fuhrman is the guy to go, and Valter Longo.
Yeah, perfect. And you mentioned a lot of important things, I think, so I don't even know where to start or what.
Yeah, I'm ranting again.
Yeah, it's like also going back to what you mentioned before, like you mentioned my friend who was asking about the leucine content, right, the food, and to speak about how it affects the longevity. So basically, I would get back to that, and you also mentioned it, like having the protein to build muscle. You might prioritize that over longevity at some time, and so I would like to speak maybe or have your point perspective on that from the health versus performance, because when you want to perform, when you want to build muscle, you might need to do sacrifices on the other side.
Yes, yes.
And yes, so it's all about priorities, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, can I elaborate a little bit? Because I believe that building muscle is not the black and white thing. You're not building muscle or building no muscle at all. So if you really, like, it's my opinion, man, if you really want to prioritize in building muscle mass, like, you would take, like, steroids and just eat like a lot of whey protein, animal protein and stuff like that, and you would optimize it pretty good. I mean, you would gain so much mass and stuff, but then the risk of like getting a serious disease or something like that is like way increased. So then if you want to take it like less far, you can eat like a normal diet, quote unquote, most people eat, and just amp up your protein with animal-based protein sources, and you would be pretty well off in terms of muscle building. But then again, I believe you would feel not that good. You will also get more sick. You know, I see so many people around me, they're getting sick and stuff because they don't have high antioxidants levels in their bodies, in their nutrition. So my take on it is I look at the research of like muscle building on a plant-based diet because I still want to be on a plant-based diet because I believe it's a really, really good diet for optimizing also performance because you're just getting less sick. You're having so many antioxidants. Your recovery is also increased most of the time. And then I researched that and I came to the conclusion, okay, if you really want to optimize it on a plant-based vegan diet, you should probably amp up your protein. You should probably supplement with, I guess, protein powder if you want to, if you really want to amp up your protein like that. And then also I would really think about like the leucine threshold and your meal frequency, because now we went so far that some people say, yeah, you don't care about meal frequency. You just need like one meal, or you just need all your calories and then you're good, which you can still build muscle with, but it's not actually true. So also studies that talk about meal frequency came to the conclusion that eating 3 to 6 meals a day is still the best for like muscle building and reaching this leucine threshold in these 3 to 6 meals is the best way to amp up your protein synthesis. So what I mean by leucine threshold is eat enough protein in a given meal to eat enough leucine to activate your muscle protein synthesis to the max. And on a plant-based vegan diet, you need a little bit more protein per meal than on a meat-based diet or animal protein-based diet. So what I think it would be good is to have like 3 meals a day with 40 grams of protein in each meal. If you weigh more as an athlete, you can eat more protein per meal. If you weigh less, you can eat less. But to eat like 35 to 50 grams of protein in a meal and to eat 3 meals on a plant-based diet, you can also combine it with intermittent fasting, even with fasting, would be a perfect way or a good way to kind of find a sweet spot between both worlds, you know. So I would say fast for 12 to 16 hours a day, eat 3 mm-hmm. meals in that eating window, and try to in every meal eat the same amount of protein if you want to optimize longevity, but perhaps even more your muscle building properties. What I'm doing right now is I care a little bit more about longevity, so I basically fast for approximately 14 to 16 hours a day. I eat a little small meal in the beginning of the day, like right now, with still 30 grams of protein. And then at the end of the day, I eat a bigger meal with more protein, but still enough to spike, to reach this leucine threshold. And then like in between, I eat like nuts and fruits and really healthy stuff. And still my big meals are still healthy, you know. But I also eat stuff like nut butters, for example, which is a little bit processed, to also amp up my calories, to gain a little bit more weight, to also optimize for gain. So everybody needs to like find his own sweet spot, but for me it's something that works pretty well. And I also supplement with pea protein right now because it's a easier way for me to like think about my protein. I don't want to like be in the train and eat my pounds of like chickpeas like every day, you know what I mean? So yeah, that's how I think about it. But then again, at the same time, I supplement with turmeric caps, with ashwagandha, with omega 3. You know, I take it very seriously, and I found a way for me that works.
Yeah, and actually, you mentioned one thing that really be now came to my mind, like interesting to find the research on that. Probably there is none yet. When we speak about like plant-based diet and versus optimizing, you know, muscle performance. On one mm-hmm. side, we can say that plant-based diet might be lacking on certain amino acids in mm-hmm. like leucine in the high enough amount. Mm-hmm. And if you want to optimize muscle building, you would better do it like whey shakes or whey protein,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which seems to be like the king.
Mm-hmm.
And now, on the other side, plant-based diet provides you with better recovery,
mm-hmm.
which means over the long term, it would allow you to train more.
Yes.
And training stimulus is probably more important than, I would say, that it's more important than having, you know, like supplementing with protein or hitting your protein numbers.
Yes.
Of course, it doesn't mean I'm not speaking about overtraining,
mm-hmm.
but having the good enough stimulus. So
having this kind of study, like that would compare recovery provided or as a benefit of plant-based eating versus optimized protein intake from the, let's say, whey shakes or the correct protein or whatever. That would be kind of interesting to see.
The sweet spot and everything, right? Yeah. I mean, it's always difficult to study that stuff because then people would like need to like optimize their diets for the studies. And then some studies are like self-reported studies, which you can basically put in the garbage if it comes like nutrition research. So yeah, it's such an interesting topic. And that's the reason why we need people like us, you know, that are really like nerds and love to read about that stuff. Because to be honest, like the whole knowledge I gathered from my nutrition research, I had to research it as hard as back in the day when I was like studying psychology at university, you know, like I got a degree in like nutrition, like it's so crazy. And so people like just misguided, and not to say that I know it all, but we are on the good side, you know, to the optimal, like quote unquote optimal nutrition paradigm, let's say.
Yeah, definitely. So, as I got it, basically you are still following the vegan diet or let's say nutritarian diet.
And, yeah.
Well, let's say besides the oil, you are pretty much vegan, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty much vegan just because I consume krill oil right now. And, you know, sometimes when like people give me smoothies or stuff like that, and then if there is honey in it, which is not vegan, like, you know, from definition standpoint. Or, you know, when like some friends of mine give me like some food and I don't want to ask them like, oh, is there like some milk in it? Because I'm not lactose intolerant or something, you know. So I keep socially acceptable in some kind of way, you know what I mean? So, but I am on a vegan diet, but I prefer the term.
Just for the term, just for the label, let's put it that you are vegan.
Yes, I am.
And yeah, so my question was more towards like, what are the personal benefits that you have seen, if there are any,
from my vegan,
vegan?
To be honest, back in the day, I had a really strong immune system. I rarely got sick, but now I feel like my immune system is even stronger. Like when people are getting sick around me, I'm not getting sick, man. Like it's crazy. And then also when I don't sleep enough and I realize I am on the edge of getting sick, I just like chill a little bit, you know, help my body to detoxify. I sleep for one night, I sleep like 8 hours. Then I'm good, man. You know, like it's crazy. Like I feel like my body is just like way more balanced and way, I don't know. Like I just feel, you know, it's difficult to say because I'm that type of guy. I always optimize my diet. Like, We did this podcast already 2 months ago, and like I have so much more stuff to talk about. So I'm always like optimizing my diet. So there was not a point of like, now I'm vegan and now my life changed, but I can gradually see how my life was changing. And now also when I eat, like sometimes I eat animal products again, like last time in July, I ate some fish or also like some meat in May 2017. And I was not feeling good, man. You know, like sometimes I just try it out to see how I feel. But now I don't eat animal products at all. I'm like at the point where I really like realize. So I would say my immune system is stronger than ever, which is a good thing. And my recovery, I would say, is also better. Like I have like less, I guess it's also because of the minerals. But my recovery, I would say, is also better, especially if I don't have a lot of stress in my life. I really feel so good. Like it's crazy. I also feel like Mark Hyman talks about that in his book, The Ultramind Solution. He talks about the four main neurotransmitters we have, like acetylcholine, dopamine, serotonin, and GABA. And since I'm eating healthier also, like on a vegan diet, I feel like these neurotransmitters are in a way more balanced way. I was also able to like quit coffee, which I was not able to during the last years. And I also think it's between I have a more balanced way of eating and living. This could be a big thing.
Yeah, I really love what you're saying. And I think many people actually mentioned this and this, like you mentioned. People around you are getting sick and we are not. I mean, I don't remember the last time I was really sick.
Yeah, man. But I would like to also talk about... Yeah, sorry. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, what I would like perhaps talk about in this podcast is also like some example days of both of us. Because when people hear about nutrition, they're like, okay, like friends of mine are like, okay, that's interesting what you said, but what should I eat now? You know, like, you know,
yeah,
what I
mean? Definitely.
So we could perhaps also like today, for example, for me is a pretty good example day. I have a rest day. So I woke up and I was fasting for like 15 hours. So what I did basically is I woke up and I ate just a little small meal because I don't want to stress my, I don't want to eat too much in the morning. So when I wake up, so what I did basically is I ate some vegetables, like some cherry tomatoes today. I ate some almonds. Yeah, I love them. I ate some almonds with that, like raw almonds, just for the fat and also to absorb all the fat soluble the nutrients and vitamins from the vegetables. I also ate two kiwis with that. It's a habit I implemented. I almost every day I eat two kiwis because they are the most nutrient dense fruits of all, or I guess almost of all of them, and also help to prevent and to reverse DNA damage. So I always eat two kiwis, and I drank a pea protein shake with that, with like 30 grams of protein powder, just to get some leucine in. And right now I also want to make some gains in the gym and everything. That this was my first meal. The second meal right before the podcast.
So was that after the workout?
No, I didn't work out today.
Ah, yeah.
Okay. I didn't work out. But most of the time I drink my protein shake before the workout, because I've read studies that the protein before the workout is as important as after the workout. And if you get protein before the workout, you don't need to care a lot about the meal after the workout. You can eat the meal after like 2 or 3 hours after the workout if you get protein before the workout, basically. So that's just my take.
Just recently I saw a study that was comparing actually pre-workout and post-workout protein intake for the muscle building. And actually the post-workout seems to be marginally better than the pre-workout. But yes, if you really want to optimize, then pre-workout plus post-workout is the best, obviously. Yeah. But really, this we are speaking about like 1-2% difference.
So, gotcha.
I mean, unless you are like really want to totally optimize it and you are a professional bodybuilder or something like that.
Totally, man, totally. Also, like getting back to the example day, also before the podcast, also ate some raw carrots because I was like craving some nutrients. And also some walnuts, also some raw walnuts. And this is a kind of a snack I like to eat. And after that podcast, man, like around 7 or 8 p.m., I guess I will eat the biggest meal of the day. I will get some raw broccoli. I will perhaps make a salad, something like that, with raw broccoli, which I really like. I will also eat some, pumpernickel bread, the whole grain bread.
Yeah.
It's like a really, really dark bread. It has a shitload of like fiber. Wow. I will eat like a package of that, I guess, with some cashew butter or some other good stuff, and also some like chickpeas, you know, like just a big, big nutrient dense meal. And if you struggle with fiber, I would just say, okay, eat like food that has a little bit less fiber if you struggle with that in the beginning, or eat more meals what I would say. But it's just like how I like to structure my day. At the end of the day, I like to eat the biggest amount of food, because for me, I'm a little bit of a foodie. So while I also like, it's probably not the healthiest thing, but I regulate some of my emotions through like eating, and it helps me to just chill, you know? So I like to eat big meals, like at the end of the day, to reflect on my day, to enjoy myself a little bit.
Well, I definitely love that you also bring that mental aspect into the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so do you also have a set kind of macros or?
Yeah,
because based on what you are saying, it's like there is a certain amount of fat that you like to snack on walnuts and such. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what phase I am in. So I have a range for protein. So protein right now I eat between like, I would say 90 grams or... On some days, it's 80 grams some days. But right now, because I'm optimizing like my gym and everything, I eat at least 90 grams of protein a day. And they go as high as like 110 grams, 115, 120 grams. So I would say on average, like 100 grams of protein. And then for the fats, it's like it changes from day to day. Sometimes I like to eat more like cashew, but I love cashew butter. That's a big thing, or almond butter. On some days less, but on an average, perhaps 60 grams of fat, and I weigh around 65 kilograms. And then the rest is carbs. But when I'm cutting down, I focus on a lower fat diet, because I realize when I cut down, when I cut body fat, I thrive more on high carb foods. And I amp up my protein a little bit to like 120, perhaps 130 grams, more or less. And then I eat a little bit less fat because I want to save up the calories. But I would say if you're listening to a podcast and you just want a healthy overall diet, like for the fat, I would say from like, I don't like the 80-10-10 diet, but I would say from 15% to even up to 40% if it's like a healthy heavy fats, healthy plant fats. If you're not over-consuming omega-6 fatty acids, it's a good range. And then for the protein, I would say, yeah, as I said before, like 0.8 grams of protein per lean body mass in pounds is a good range if you want to like go to the gym, and then the rest of like carbs.
What was that, 0.8?
I would say 0.8 grams per lean body mass in pounds works for most people on a calorie, on a maintenance diet with maintenance calories or calorie surplus.
Mm-hmm.
I would say.
Yeah, that sounds good.
More will probably be better for gains, you know, because it's, we talked about the percentages. Perhaps you would make 10% or 5% more gains with 40 grams more protein or 20 grams more protein. But for me, it's not worth to worry. You know, because then I would need to worry. Yeah, I need a second protein shake. I need more chickpeas. I would not like to worry too much about that.
Yeah, definitely. It's not worth the trade-off.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that is for yourself. I would say like the zone diet, which is like 50% carbs, 30% protein, 30% fat, and 20% protein, seems to be also a good starting point for most people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, with my own experience, also from feeling perspective, what I realized for myself is 30% fat, 55% carbs, and 15% protein. For me, like in this range of like 15% protein, for me, I really felt the best. I mean, I still feel good right now, but I felt like less filled up with food, you know, because of less chickpeas and lentils and beans.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, from my perspective or how my day works, it's like very simple, and it is like I've been following my breakfast, which is I actually have it at about now. It's like at about 9 to 10 a.m., somewhere in between, which is like oatmeal with fruits and a little bit of fats in form of nuts. So basically, this pretty high carb meal, I would say. And usually that lasts me till like 1 p.m. And that's when I have my lunch, and this is usually like beans with grains mixed and a salad.
Nice.
And then it depends like when I work out. If I work out, run or whatever throughout the day, then I will maybe push it more back or eat it before or something like that. And in the evening, sooner or later, also based on the workout, I would have second meal. That would be the third meal, and that is the basically the same as I have for lunch. I mean, it's that simple. If I'm still like not really hungry but want something more, then I for the dinner, like the really last meal, I have something like a big salad, so nutrient dense with fats.
Nice.
As you mentioned, to help not it absorb, so nuts, seeds, and salad.
Yeah.
It's very, very satisfying meal for me.
Yeah, man. It's so crazy, right? You can eat so much food. It's so satisfying. And you can eat like a meal of 1,000 calories, like with nutrient-dense food. You can eat so much, man. And you know, it's really difficult to become fat, you know, if you eat like that.
Yeah, definitely.
It's really, really. By the way, how much protein do you get on a daily basis? Do you know it?
Protein.
Yeah.
110 to 120.
Also right. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's approximately 19 to 20% mm-hmm. approximately of my calories.
And what's your workout like? You also run a lot, I know that. You also go to the gym, or what do you do like for like your muscles?
Yes, it's like now it's like I run or do the endurance training, and that is 5 to 6 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And besides that, I have a strength routine, and that is like consisting of bodyweight exercises, and this is in the days between the hard running workout.
Okay. So
for example, on Monday I would have a recovery run and a strength routine. On Tuesday I will have a interval training, so
gotcha.
Running.
Gotcha.
And yes, on Wednesday again like very easy run and with the focus on the strength training. Mm-hmm. And Thursday for example running hills is again hard for the legs or for the running. So basically, you can say that upper part or upper body workouts and lower body workouts.
Yeah. Pretty. You have a pretty balanced way of working out. I like it.
Yeah, but for example, now this week I have had like a recovery week when I would be not running at all. Actually, I didn't run. I ran only on Monday, and I switched running for cycling,
mm-hmm.
which. As far as I know, from the bodybuilding perspective, when it comes to cardio, it seems to be more beneficial as a cardio routine.
Like bicycle.
To have bike instead of running.
Yeah. Mm. Gotcha.
So I also noticed that my recovery got better and my strength went up. And that is just because I cut down on running on this. I definitely need to experiment with this. I'm far from finding my ideal spot, but yeah, I'm getting there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, it's personal journey, man. I mean, what I like to do with my workouts is my body is, for me, it's like building my body up is like art. And back in the day, I was not a really athletic guy. So right now I just want to create this amazing athletic body and have this awesome diet so I can see what my potential is. So what things I also have on my list is learning calisthenics, you know, handstand, push-ups, uh-huh. stuff like that. So I'm on a journey to like basically try to achieve it. I also want to get better endurance. But I realize for myself in my life right now, I always need to have an immersion period in one of these areas and then I can focus on the next one. So basically right now I'm following a powerlifting type of routine because I want to amp up my bench press and my military press because it was always really weak in these exercises. So as soon as I do that, I will focus more on like sheer bodybuilding type of work, upper lower workout 4 times a week for workouts, and then like focus on like the aesthetics. And then when I do that, I also want to start running or cardio. And then later mm-hmm. on, I also want to do more cardio and then also like do more calisthenics type of work. So I want to really see what my potential is. And for me, that's the reason why I'm so passionate about that stuff. You know, I don't care too much about like being the biggest dude or being the best guy in a specific area, even though being the best guy is a good thing. I mean, every guy wants to be the best in some area, I guess. But I really care about what my potential is and how far I can push it in a healthy way. And to kind of document that also for like my YouTube channel. And perhaps I guess I'll also make series on my YouTube channel. How am I like progressing in my powerlifting journey? How am I progressing with the handstand push-ups and stuff like that?
Yeah, and definitely people will be able to follow you and to find the link to your YouTube channel below. But just for the reference, can you name your channel?
Yeah, so man, it's like... It's pretty difficult name, like it's like Charles, Charles Ruffieux, which is Ruffieux. It's a French name, but you can still find my channel if you type in my old channel name, which was called the Charlie himself. So just like Charlie himself, and then you will still get to my channel. which I mean, I'm pretty happy about it. And I always, I mean, my mission is also like to improve my editing skills so I can like work on everything and just create this little community, because I always wanted a community of like-minded people, you know, that like my stuff. And it's basically a community of like friends, and you know, we have awesome discussions, and I just want, I mean, it's also like kind of how we stayed in touch, because I was doing videos, you were doing your thing, and social media is just is a great tool, man. I love it.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, besides of that, when you were speaking about that, do you want to start also running and so on, like build a little bit of endurance? Do you also do like maybe after your strength routine, kind of cool down or whatever? Because, you know, I don't go to gym in general, but I noticed when I was there, or from the people speaking about it, they do like maybe 20 minutes on the bike or on a treadmill before the workout, or maybe 10-15 minutes after the workout, you know, like this kind of warm-up cool down. I don't know, do you also anything like that, or do you see that's redundant?
To be honest, right now I'm following this powerlifting schedule, and the first 3 weeks of my first powerlifting cycle were pretty hardcore. I had to go to the gym 5 days a week and bench 5 days a week. So 5 days a week I had to bench press, you know. So it was a pretty taxing, it's a pretty taxing routine for the first 3 weeks. So then I was like, I mean, I could have like run for 10 minutes after every workout, you know. I don't want to bullshit you. But I was like, come on, man, I don't want to worry about that stuff. I will like start to run in week four. And week four will be next week. And then in week four, I just need to do bench press for 2 days a week. And on the other 2 days, I'm doing a back day and the leg day, so I can still train my backs and my legs. And then I will like start to like run like for 10 to 15 minutes after my workouts, just to get my endurance up. And yeah, it's a healthy way to like train my body. Also for the heart, I guess long term, it's also good for the heart and everything.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, for the people, the best advice I could give regarding the endurance training, and that is actually just going for a walk. And you can always, you know, just walk faster or walk uphill or anything like that. And this is like really endurance training in disguise.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. Like, just like start small and then you can always amp it up.
Well, but definitely, I also noticed like how I can keep my endurance or fitness without running, and that is really just going for a walk in the morning. And when you go for a walk for like 1-2 hours and you are walking in a brisk pace, it's like, well, it's not as good as running if you are specializing in running, but it's a good way to keep your fitness at some or pretty good level.
I mean, if you don't use it, you'll lose it, basically. That's like a big principle.
Yeah, definitely. So that's it. And I don't know, is there anything else you would like to mention?
Not really, man. I had a lot of fun. I mean, I need to get the second time on this podcast. Otherwise, I mean, I will have some other stuff to talk about in a couple of months from now, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. We will have any new things to do. And also, do you also help people through coaching, or how do you...
Yeah. I also coach people in the area of like muscle building, fitness, and I coach people especially that also want to get the knowledge themselves, because what I'm doing is with my clients is I'm not just coaching them barely. I'm also telling them why am I doing stuff, why you need that. I show them everything they want to see. I give them, like, I show them the books, I show them the studies. So after, like, people work with me, they could also like basically start coaching other people, which is pretty funny, because, you know, I also want to have the biggest impact in my life. Like, I want to create a legacy and to teach people the stuff like one-on-one while helping them to achieve their goals is a good way to build that.
So how can people actually contact you if they want some personal coaching, I guess? If they do you build them also some like workout routine, or
Sure, it's always individualized, also like from the pricing standpoint. With everybody, it's not the same, and I, I price by the time I need to invest and the effort I need to invest in. But basically how you can reach me is basically you can write in the comments of my video, hey, I'm interested about the coaching. Or you can also contact me on my email, like it's contact@charlesruffieux.com, like Charles, RUFFIEUX.com. But I mean, if you write me on Facebook, on Instagram, or on YouTube, I just need to see it and then I will get in touch with you.
Yeah, that's perfect. So yeah, if anybody who is listening, who is interested to work with you, they have an easy way how to reach you.
Nice.
Okay, Charlie. Thank you very much for your time.
Nice. No worries. And
yes, for all the information that you shared with us today. And I really enjoyed speaking with you.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed the episode and see you next time. If you liked it, please share, subscribe, and you will find all the important links in the show notes or below video, however you got to this. So there will be also a page to subscribe, my Facebook page, my website, and if you are looking for a coach or coaching experience, you are looking to boost your performance, whether it's mental or physical, to the next level, then go to my website that is linked down below and contact me through there.